Welcome to the Lifehouse Church podcast. More information about Lifehouse and our senior pastors, Richard and Helen Kabakian, can be found at lifehouse.com.au. We hope you enjoy the following message.
You know, all of us have all had some things done to us or said to us that plain and simply, let's just say it as it is, plain and simply, it was wrong what some people said to you or what some people did to you. It may have been 30 minutes ago or it may have been 30 years ago. And, you know, when these things happen, we've got to be really careful because I think sometimes we think that it didn't affect us, but in actual fact, they have the potential to wreak havoc in our life. It causes us to make decisions that we didn't want to make. It causes us to go to places we didn't want to go. It causes us to do things that we didn't want to do. And, you know, whenever someone does something to you, you know, it's like they've taken some seeds. A seed. And the reason I say seed is because a seed has the potential to grow into something. So they're not just a rock. Remember, sticks and stones will break my bone. Remember that? Yeah. Well, if it was just a stick and a stone, it wouldn't be a problem. But a seed grows. And a seed begins to develop. And a seed, if left unchecked, begins to develop fruit. And often we are so concerned about the fruit, but we've got to remember that it started off as a root problem. And as we go through life, people deposit some seeds into our lives. We didn't go looking for it. We didn't wake up in the morning and say, please deposit a seed in my life. But you know, we went to work one day and the manager just has a go at you for no reason at all and says some things about you that are just not true. And you know what? She, he didn't mean to. Maybe they did, but they deposited a seed into your hand. And that guy broke up with you for no reason at all. Actually, we now know that he was cheating on you. You were doing everything right as far as you could tell. You were being a good girlfriend or a fiance or whatever, and he deposited, listen, maybe not one, but maybe three or four or five or ten seeds into your hand. And if we were really honest with ourselves today, I would say that every person in this place would have a seed or some seeds, or for some people, if we were really honest, we've got a whole handful of them. You've got a whole handful of seeds. So many that you've actually got to put them into two hands. And the only problem with this is that it's very hard to do life like this. It's very hard to worship God because we want to have open hands and an open heart, but there's a part of us that's a little bit reserved and closed off. And let me tell you, it goes even deeper than that. It's very difficult to embrace your partner or to touch their face or to be intimate when your hands are completely tied up, full of brokenness and full of hurt and full of pain. And this can be our lives, friends. And for a lot of us, it really does look like this. Let's be honest. I'm even struggling to turn my iPad. The thing about it is, it's very easy to hide. Wow. It's like, hey, how you going? I'm great. I'm awesome. Let's shake hands. Well, maybe let's just fist pump. It's very easy to hide. And on Easter Sunday, I just don't believe that's God's plan. I just don't believe this is God's plan for our lives. Friends, I used to be in sales, and I used to go to people's homes, and one day I went to an old lady's home, and sorry, I shouldn't have said old lady, because there might be some people of this age, and you're going to get really upset that I just said old, but she was 84 years old, and I sat down at her home, and she was with her husband had a cane, and they were old, and they were sitting on those, you know, those really funky chairs now, they're like the rounded arm, loungy sort of chairs that everyone's trying to recover now, they're worth a fortune. And they were sitting in that, and I was selling a particular product, but I just always wanted to start off the conversation. And so I said, so how are you guys going? And she says, yeah, good, good, thank you. And they were living in North Essendon in a beautiful home. And then her husband stands up and he says, just excuse me for a moment. Now, she was 84 years old. He was slightly older than her. And he walks out of the room, hobbling out. And then she says to me, "You know, he cheated on me, you know." Wow. I'm thinking, wow. Mate, you go, man. He would have been, what, 86 or something? I mean, not you go, but like, wow, really? Like, serious? Is that still going on at that age? And I said, really? And tears start streaming down her face. Tears. 84-year-old lady, she was handing me a cup of tea as she said it. You know, there was no tea left in it by the time I, got there. And I said to her, really? I said, wow. Now, I'm assuming it didn't happen last week. I said, how long ago did this happen? She goes, when I was 24. She's telling me about it with tears streaming down her face. Friends, let me tell you what's going on there. There's a lady that's going over her seeds. Just staring at her seeds. And listen, she's been doing that for 60 years. 60 years. She talked about it like it happened last week. Tears, that's how emotional she was about it. Now, I'm sure most of us are going, wow, 60 years? Friends, if we're not careful, that'll be us. Unless you deliberately do something with these seeds. Amen? And you know what? I just want to encourage you today. I know sometimes we get really familiar with these seeds, and sometimes it's the only thing we've got to talk about. And sometimes, let's be honest, the seeds justify your actions. It's like, I'm allowed to be who I am because look at the seeds. You know, I know I don't keep my word, but my dad never kept his word. All right? Okay? It's like, look, I get it, but I just reckon there's a higher life for you. And I just think that there is a plan and a purpose from God to help us to get through this. And for us, guys, I think we need to turn to Jesus. Why would we turn to Jesus in regards to this situation? Because, friends, Jesus didn't have a handful of seeds. He had a world full of seeds. Because the Bible says that Jesus took upon himself every sin, every evil, every nasty word, every evil action, every evil intent. Jesus, the Bible says, took all of that upon his body when he was dying on the cross. So I think if anyone understands your seed, it's Jesus. Have you been rejected? Jesus was rejected. Have you been hurt? Jesus was hurt. Has someone said something about you that was not true? That was Jesus. Do you feel like you didn't get an opportunity? His whole life was cut short at 33. I can't have children. Well, neither did Jesus. I haven't found a partner yet. Well, neither did Jesus. Like, you name your hurt, Jesus has got the seed in his hand too. He's got it all, friend. He's got it all. And he took it, and he took our seed. And then Jesus explains to us what he plans to do with the seed. And here it is in John chapter 12, verse 24. It says, the truth is, this is Jesus speaking, a kernel of wheat. I've got corn here, but imagine it's corn that he's talking about. He says, a kernel of wheat must be planted in the soil. Unless it dies, it will be alone. Can you repeat those words with me? Unless it dies, it will be alone. Unless it dies, what's he talking about? The seed. Unless the seed dies, he says, the wheat, unless it dies, it remains alone. A single seed, he says. But its death will produce many new kernels, a plentiful harvest of new lives. Now listen, Jesus is actually talking about his body. He's talking about what's going to happen to him. He's going to take sin and he's going to put it into his body, his flesh. Not his spirit, not his soul, his flesh. Jesus is going to take all the sin of the world upon his flesh. And what's he going to do with it? The Bible says that he's going to take that body and he's going to bury it just like you bury a seed. And he says, if I do that, then I won't remain alone. Now the power of God can come into his life. And as the power of God comes into his life, he says he'll come up out of the ground, and not only will he just come up out of the ground, he's going to produce a harvest that's going to save a lot of lives. Amen? He's going to save a lot of lives. He's going to save a lot of lives. Friends, those seeds that we've got, Right now, they may be just isolated events for you. You don't even know why it happened. And guess what? You may never know why it happened. But let me tell you something, what Romans 8:28 says. Come on, we've read this one before. It says that we know that all things work together. All things work together. The pain, the good times, the bad times, the sad times, the extreme times, the excitement, the doldrums, the boredom. Everything in life works together, he says, to work together for your good. God's trying to work a good in your life to those who are called according to his purpose. Listen, God can't join himself to something. God can't get involved in whatever has happened to you. God can't transform the seed until you give it to him. When you give it to him, he says, I can do something with that and I can bring about a purpose for your pain. Some of you are going, I've just got pain. And God says, I know, but you know, if you give it to me, I can bring a purpose through that pain. Imagine that God could take the pain that's happened in your life. Maybe you've been divorced. Why did I get divorced? You know, we don't know why. But if you will hand that pain over to God, God says, I'm going to somehow use it. I'm going to somehow bless someone else's life. I'm going to take you on a journey. He's going to bring about something great. So I just want to give you a very brief exercise on planting. Many of you would know a whole lot more, but Helen and I, we've planted this little garden recently. Come on, young adults, you've seen it. Okay, it's a nice little garden that we're very protective over, that please do not destroy it. Stop sinning on the pot plants. But that was for you, hon, all right? But let me just... This is just something I prepared earlier. So here's the pot plant. The pot. There's soil in there. Let me tell you what you have to do if you want to plant something. Are you ready?
Yep.
You need to take a seed. Take notes. Some of you are taking notes. You've never seen this before. Some of you think food comes from Coles. You think Coles. You just think this is where Coles get it from, okay? So you take a seed. That's what you've got to do. There's soil in there. You take your seed and you put it into the soil. Right? Then, wait for it, you've got to cover it up. So that it can't be seen anymore.
Yeah.
Right? And then this is the really tricky part. Then you gotta just let it go and leave it alone. Then God says, great. Now that you've done that, I can attach myself to it and I can make something beautiful grow. Now, I know that some people in this room would say, Pastor Richard, I feel like I have actually done that. Well, I'm not sure you have. Because if you have a look at what Jesus had to do to be raised again, Jesus died on a cross, took sin, that was the seed. They then took him down. Listen, they put him into a tomb. Then they covered the tomb with a stone. They covered it. And then they just left him alone. They left him alone. Then God attached himself to the Messiah, raised him from the dead, and then he came out to life again.
Yeah.
Some of us would say, Pastor Richard, I feel like I've done that. No, let me tell you what you did. You took your seed. Great message, Pastor Rich. You put it in. You sort of covered it over. But then when things got tough again, you went back and you went looking for it again. And you pulled it back out again.
Wow.
And then another message came along. You go, no, that's it. That's it. This time, it's gone. It's in there and you've covered it over again. And it's done this time. Isn't that right?
Yeah.
But then you're like tempted again. And you sort of... And so, you know what? This is what we've learned to do.
Oh,
it's buried. What? I buried it. It's done. Some of you are wondering how I'm doing that, aren't you? I have to find a pot small enough, by the way. I have to go to Bunnings this morning just to buy this pot so I could do this for you, okay? Now, some of us will say, oh, absolutely, I've got to forgive. Got to forgive, yeah? Can't see it, it's buried. Can you see my seed? You can't see my seed. You can't see the seed. And God says, yeah, but guess what? I can't make it grow. I can't make it grow if you do that. Today, I'm going to beg, plead, try and persuade you to say, friends, why don't we take the wrongdoings that have happened in our life, all those negative situations, why don't we sow them into God?
Yeah.
and say, God, I don't quite understand it. Listen, I don't quite understand what happens when that seed gets under the soil. I can tell you one thing happens. It does die. And because it dies, it then comes back to life. Wow. Friends, listen, I'm going to be honest with you. Unless this thing dies, unless it dies, you're not going to see any good come out of it. Yeah. While you're still keeping the seed out on the dry place, out on your kitchen bench, it's not going to grow. But if you'll be willing to let God have it and say, God, I don't quite understand how, I don't even understand why, but if you want it, you can have it. And he says, if you will bury it, he will attach himself to it and you will find the purpose in the pain. Give the Lord a huge round of applause. Come on. See, friends, Good Friday is the seed. Good Friday is the sin day. That's the day that we remember what Jesus did for us and paid the price for our sin. Friends, Good Friday represents the need that you have in your life right now. Good Friday. And then we get to Easter Sunday. And it's like, that's the resurrection. That's the harvest. That's the miracle taking place in your life. So we've got Good Friday and we've got Easter Sunday. I'm telling you what today's message is about is actually Easter Saturday. I'm saying to you that, you know what, between the sin, you've got to take the sin, the hurt, the pain, whatever it is, and you need to sow it on, do you know, nothing happened on Saturday. Have you ever heard a message about Easter Saturday? Anyone ever? I'm telling you, Easter Saturday is the most important day because that's when God attached himself to the miracle. And I'm telling you, no one could see what was going on behind that stone. No one knew what was going on. You don't know. I don't know. The Bible doesn't even tell us what happened behind the stone. But that's when God was doing the miracles. Easter Sunday is the revelation of it. Easter Sunday is like, boom, it's happened now. But friends, it was happening. And right now, some of you are living, right now you're living not in your Easter Sunday. You haven't got your miracle yet. You're not feeling great about life. But right now, maybe you're in your Easter Saturday. And I'm telling you right now, hold on tight because your Sunday is coming. It is coming. But you've got to leave the stone alone. Repeat after me. Leave the stone alone. Imagine the disciples that are going, you know what? He said 3 days, but come on, 2 days is good enough. Why don't we just take a sneak peek? Let's see what the Messiah is up to behind that stone. And sometimes you've got to listen. Sometimes you just got to leave it alone. You know, you rehearsing the pain doesn't bring about the miracle. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 23. This is what Jesus did. This is what the Apostle Peter tells us to do with our lives. It says, when they hurled their insults at him, what did he do? He did not retaliate. When he suffered, he made no threats. Instead, he entrusted himself to the one who judges justly. Do you reckon you can muster up enough faith to say, you know what, God, the wrong thing was done by me, but I hand it over to you because I know you'll do what's right. I don't need to talk badly about that person. I don't need to rehearse that scenario. I don't need to pull people's lives down. I'm just going to hand it over to you, God. And you know what? I know that you will do the right thing, friends. That's what Jesus did, and that's how he ended up doing what he did. Come on, it's time for you. How often are we going to go around this block over and over again, seeds in our hands, not being able to get on with? Friends, you know what? And for parents, I think you should know this by now. The prophetess Elsa told us what we need to do. She told us, and she told us over and over and over and over again. What did she tell us to do? To let it go, let it go. Blah, 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 blah. It's all I know of the song, but let it go. And for those of you that are hip and you don't have kids yet, well, then the prophet James Bay said to you, well, come on, let it go. Just let it go. Yeah, you get the point. Come on, it's time. This Easter, come on, why don't you leave this place with free hands? Yeah. Leave it with free. But Pastor Jones, I got really hurt. Really? As much as Jesus got hurt? Wow. Like at that same level? Wow. No. Well, that's what he did. And it worked out well for him. So come on, it's time. Come on, there are some people in this place, you're really, really disappointed about some leaders' behaviors. You're really disappointed in some parents' behaviors. You're really disappointed in your partner's behavior. I don't know what you're going through right now. All I know is God does. Yeah. And God is persuading you today to say, come on, let it go. Yeah. Why don't you let it go? Or is this going to be your story for the next 16 years? Wow. Oh, man, it was so bad. Woo! Have you got 14 hours for me to tell you what happened? No, really, do you? Come on, let it go. Yeah. Let it go. People want to meet the best you. Don't let people think they're dealing with damaged goods. I met a guy once. I was in Queensland. I was speaking actually at Sarah, who just sung. I was preaching at her dad's church back in the day. And there was this great young guy. He was there. He looked hip. He looked cool. I thought, maybe this guy's going to be an up-and-coming young leader or something. I don't know. So I went and sat next to him, and I can't remember his name, but he sort of had the right look. And I thought, you know, I sat down with him. I said, how you going, bro? Oh, terrible. I said, are you okay? He goes, yeah, but I've been coming here for a while and no one talks to me. No one ever talks to me. You know, I'm just, I don't know what it is. And he went on for about 3 minutes about how nobody wanted to talk to him. Guess what I wanted to do? That stood out to me. Like, I was so happy to talk to him. But after he told me how nobody wants to talk to him, I'm like, maybe there's something that these people all know that I don't know yet. You know, I don't know. But you know what? Instead of him saying, you know what, great, thank you, I would have been happy to be there for an hour. Yeah. Instead, I'm like, get me out of here, get me out of here. Hey, come on, don't paint yourself as damaged goods. You're not damaged goods. Yeah. Okay, yeah, you've had some bad things happen to you. Yeah, mum and dad didn't treat you well. Come on, but you've got a whole life ahead of you. You've got a future. God's got a plan for your life. God can always take the evil and somehow make it for good. Some of you have heard about the little old boll weevil. Anyone heard about the little old boll weevil? The boll weevil is a beetle. And in 1915 in Alabama, where they were growing cotton, and from Mexico, this little beetle had made his way over and he started damaging all the cotton crops. And people were cursing the boll weevil. It was destroying everything. By 1918, most people's crops were dead and buried, and people were facing starvation. They had no money because all their crops were dead because of this little beetle. Yeah. Well, lo and behold, a man called Watson comes along, C.S. Watson, and he says, guys, I've got a better plan for you. Listen, instead of cotton, I've actually discovered this little thing called a peanut that the boll weevil can't get into. And so they go, oh, all right, we'll give it a go. So they start planting peanuts. And because they start planting peanuts, people like the taste of it. And all of a sudden, the peanut butter explosion takes place right across America. Every one of those farmers became multimillionaires. In Alabama. Alabama. I just like saying it. Apparently there's some sweet homes there too. But anyway, did you... Come on, just from cursing the boll weevil. We hate you, boll weevil. You're so evil to our lives. You're a disgusting thing. You've almost sent us broke. Did you know now, today, in that same town, watch this, they've got a statue. They've got a statue holding up the boll weevil. And some of you, why would they do that? Have a look at the next picture. I'll tell you, look, it says it. It says, the boll weevil monument, in profound appreciation of the boll weevil and what it has done as the herald of prosperity. This monument was erected by the citizens and the of enterprise of the... I wonder what you're cursing right now in your life. I wonder what you're saying. It's so bad. Well, I can't believe they did that. Yeah. In 10 years' time, I think you're going to put a monument up saying, I'm so glad that happened. Yeah. I am so glad. I'm so glad I got out of that place. I'm so glad I got out of that relationship. I'm so glad I don't work there anymore. Amen. Just up the road here, 3 minutes, there used to be an airline called Ansett. And I was reading an article. When Ansett closed, 1,300 people lost their jobs just at Melbourne Airport. And all of them were thinking, what are we all going to do? And then I saw this article on people on what they did, Life After Ansett, it was called. One lady went on and she just started a little cleaning contract because she didn't have a job. She was ground staff. She didn't have a job, so she started just cleaning and cleaning and cleaning and got a few more ladies on board. Now she's got a full-blown enterprise cleaning business. And she says, I'm so glad Ansett closed.
Yeah. Wow.
I wonder what you're cursing right now, that God would say, listen, I can turn that evil into good.
Yeah.
But listen, you've got to hand it over. You've got to hand it over. You've got to be willing to do something different, think differently, be different. Come on, this Easter. I wonder if some of us are still in Easter Saturday. Some of us are about to experience Easter Sunday. But come on, does anybody want this? Some of us experience bankruptcy and you're like, that was so bad. But I tell you what, the advice that you now give others, you've stopped hundreds of people becoming bankrupt because of your one experience. You've saved lives. Come on, you've helped so many. I know it seemed evil, but God's going to add his resurrection to it. You know, there would be people in this room saying, Pastor Rich, everything you're saying is true. It's great. Fantastic. I've got a whole future. But I'll be honest with you. I feel like I've lost a lot of time. I've lost 20 years. And at the end, I've got nothing to show for it. And you're really distraught about that because, you know, you don't get those years back. Well, is that right? Well, is that right? That's not what this scripture here tells us. What does it say? In Joel chapter 2, verse 25. Joel chapter 2. It says, I'm going to repay you, God says, for the years that the locusts ate. The great locusts and the young locusts and the other locusts. Do you get the point about locusts? And the locust swarm, my great army that I sent among you. What's God saying? You know what? If you just keep your heart right, God promises that he will take the years that you think were stolen from you. And God says, you know what? What you should have achieved in 10 years, I can bring it back to you in 2. And God can get you back on track, get you going forward, moving forward financially, in your relationships, in your mindset, in your Bible knowledge. Come on, some of us are feeling ripped off. Don't feel ripped off. Don't feel ripped off. God can take you from where you were to where you're supposed to be very, very, very quickly if you'll keep your heart right. I tell you when he can't work with you, when you're completely damaged goods. He still loves you. He wants to work with you. But if you're seeing yourself as damaged and you're seeing yourself as broken, God says, well, how long do I have to wait before you're willing to go on the journey?
Yeah.
Why don't we make it today?
Amen.
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 I'm healed. I'm whole.
Amen.
Yes, that happened. But God is for me. He's not against me. And there's been a few disasters over there, and some people may even know about the disasters. Who cares? People aren't your God. God is your God.
Amen.
Hey, listen, people can't get you on track. God gets you on track.
Right.
Amen. Promotion, the Bible says, comes from the Lord.
Yes.
Amen.
Come on. Awesome.
Come on, little old Bow Evil.
Yeah, come on.
Elvis sang that song. But he was singing about a girl, and she was mean, and she was evil, like a little old Bow Evil. But then he's going to try with the little sister or something. Oh, anyway, that's just moving right along, Tony. Oh, that's a different song completely, isn't it? Because he got very suspicious about her and he had suspicious... Anyway. And all the young people said, who? Galatians, last verse. Galatians chapter 6, verses 8 to 10. It says, the one who sows to please his sinful nature, from that nature, you're going to reap destruction. But the one who sows, what do? The one who sows to please the Spirit, from the Spirit, you're going to reap eternal life.
Yeah.
So listen, everyone's got seeds today. What are you going to do with them? You're going to reap them. Are you going to sow them for destruction? Or are you going to sow them into the kingdom? Are you going to let your seeds hurt everybody? Are you going to give your seeds to God and hurt nobody and bless people? Your choice. What are you going to do? Come on, there are some people, you've been hurt in a relationship, and if you don't deal with those seeds, you know, the next person that comes into your life, they seem to pay the price for what that last person did. How unfair is that? It's so unfair. They didn't do anything wrong, but yet you're going to make them pay the price for someone else's misdeeds. No, no, come on, why don't we sow those seeds? Step back and let God do something miraculous. It continues, that verse. Listen to what it says. It continues. It says, let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time, you're going to reap a harvest.
Amen.
Just don't give up.
Amen.
Just don't give up. Pastor Richard, I've been doing that for a while now. Good, don't give up.
Come on.
Don't give up. But I haven't seen the miracle yet. Don't give up. But my marriage isn't a whole lot better. Don't give up. But my business hasn't. Don't give up. Don't give up, because you're going to reap the harvest at the right time. You're going to reap the harvest. You're going to reap the harvest. You're going to reap the harvest.
Hi, I'm Richard Kabakian, pastor of Lifehouse Church. Just wanted to say thank you for listening to this message, and I hope and pray that you feel that it's added value to your life. My greatest desire is to see people develop a personal relationship with Jesus, which can begin by praying a very simple prayer. I'm going to pray that prayer right now, and if you'd like to begin that relationship, you can just repeat after me. Lord Jesus, I need you in my life. I choose you as my only hope of being forgiven. Please come into my life and let me begin a relationship with you that will last for all eternity. If you've prayed that prayer, we would love to know about it and celebrate your fantastic decision. You can do that by sending an email to mydecision@lifehouse.com.au. We look forward to hearing from you.